Now, adjust the volume control so that the sound can be heard in all parts of the room.
This is the Protect Your Assets podcast.
You get the idea? Bring me
a dream. It's on the internet. Make him the cutest
that I've ever seen. Go on. Give him two
lips. Like it's like no cheese I've ever tasted. And tell him
that his here's the Sandman. Over
Sandman. Good morning. Do you hate paying taxes? What about your RMD? Have you taken it yet this year? Well, today's show is going to be about RMDs and what you can do to not take them, defer them, give them to somebody else. There's so many different things you can do. So stick with me for the entire show as we talk about your RMD on your IRA. Hey, there's a few more weeks left this year. You still have time to do so many things. So this morning we will be chatting about that. Good morning. We have a beautiful sunny day outside. Thanks for being here this morning. I'm David Hollander, your host. People around here, they call me the Sandman. You hear the jingle. And that's because I help my listeners sleep well at night by answering their most troubled legal, tax, or financial questions. And that's because I've been running a tax, legal, and financial firm for over 30 years. So let me ask you, don't you hate paying taxes? There's nothing worse than being forced to pay tax on money you don't need. For many people I spoke to this week, and this is the time right now, we are going through it daily, seeing 3 to 4 people a day right now where we're talking about this issue, which is taxes. What can you do before the year is over? There's still time. There's still things you can do to pay less. But for a lot of people that we speak with who are a certain age, they have to take money from their IRA, their 401k, and this causes them to pay extra taxes. Now, I'm talking about the dreaded required minimum distribution, also known as RMD. And so this is a special time of year where you have a few more weeks to take that. And if you don't, well, there's a pretty stiff penalty. Now, they did reduce the penalty. It's not quite 50% anymore. It is down. But still, it's a pretty substantial penalty, and you don't want to pay these penalties. So if you haven't already taken the RMD, remember, your time is running out to take it because you have to take it before 12/31. And there are some options about how you do that before the year is over. So we're going to cover that this morning. Talk about what choices you have. Talk about keeping the IRS off your back and how to keep your tax bill next April as low as possible. Because let's face it, more money in your pocket lets you do more. You give them more money, you have less. It's really that simple. So if you have an IRA, 401k, TSP, any sort of deferred account for retirement, make sure you stick around for the entire show as we go through RMDs and what you can do about it. Now, let's get started. Well, the week did turn around. Inflation continued to look like it was decreasing. So the Dow finished flat for the week. The S&P 500 was up slightly, 0.2%. In fact, we hit a year-to-date high on the S&P 500 on Friday, closing at 4604. And the NASDAQ was up 0.7, MSCI up 0.4%. The 10-year Treasury closing at 4.23%. And oil had another tough week, down almost 4% at $71.20 a barrel. So taking a look at the economy, the first of what I call it the big three kicked off yesterday with the jobs report. And so, obviously, this is a measure of inflation about what's going on in the November. This is for last month's job action. Now, as you know, we talk about the, Goldilocks and the porridge bowl, right? Is it just right? Well, I'm going to say yesterday's report was just right. And why? Well, this is why. The number came in at 199,000. And importantly, the unemployment rate fell to 3.7%. And when we look at the wage increase, For the month, it was up 0.4%, but year over year, right around 4%. So that's pretty healthy. And this shows that the job market is still strong and that the economy is humming along, but it's starting to moderate, starting to ease off a little bit. And so that's healthy. That's a healthy economic indicator that, of course, we want to keep our eye on because that is important. Now, next week, we're going to have two more of the big three, and it's going to start on Tuesday with the Consumer Price Index, which is a direct measure of inflation. So we'll see what that says. And then that, of course, is right before Wednesday where the Fed has their decision. I don't expect them to do anything there, which is welcomed. So again, Tuesday, Wednesday, be looking for those two things. Because what they're going to do is they're going to signal what the Fed will possibly do. And of course, the market is completely driven by that data right now. So if there's any sort of indication that it's going to be higher rates for longer, that's where that could be the tipping point of, again, some modest pullback on these indexes, which have done fairly well this year. So those are the things you want to be looking out for when it comes to the economy. Now, I had a great question, as I mentioned. And again, if you want to ask me a question, questions@pyaradio.com. This came from George. And George wanted to know, what are GLP-1 drugs? And why do they matter so much to the market right now? This is a good question. So thanks, George, for asking this. The long-term impact of what they call GLP-1 drugs has been a pretty significant story this year. But lately, it's had a bigger macro impact as expectations for this drug has resulted in some substantial gains for two specific large-cap pharma stocks. And the recent weakness in what was known as safe food stocks has shown their underperformance so far this year. So George is wondering, you know, what does this mean longer term? So the reason these GLP-1 drugs, George, have had such a varied and broad impact on different parts of the market can be summed up like this. There are expectations that these GLP-1 drugs could result in substantially less food consumption across the country in the coming years. Now, why? Put simply, they literally could reduce the demand for food. Just think about it that way. So, George, what I thought I would do this morning is explain what is or are GLP-1 drugs. Two, why they've impacted markets. And three, how to gain exposure to them, whether you're for them or you're contrarian against them. Where are the action right now? Okay. So let's start with what's a GLP-1 drug? Well, the brand name of two of the most popular GLP-1 drugs are Ozempic and Wegovy. Now, these are both produced by Novo Nordisk. GLP-1 drugs were initially designed as a diabetes drug, as GLP-1 drugs stimulate the body to produce more insulin after someone has eaten. The extra insulin helps to reduce sugar levels and is proven very effective in controlling type 2 diabetes. But along the way, users of the drug noticed a side effect. They weren't hungry, and they were losing weight. And studies have found that using GLP-1 drugs can lead to 10 to 15 pounds of weight loss. Given that, these now are being marketed as weight loss drugs, and their popularity has simply exploded. So, why has this impacted markets? Well, in short, because a lot of people are starting to use them. Get this, in the second quarter alone, sales of Ozempic rose more than 50% from a year ago, sitting at $2.1 billion. If you can believe that, that was in 22, and now it's at $3.2 billion. Wegovy sales rose 30% from 2022, $1.1 billion. So, that is having a direct impact on two of the biggest pharma stocks that have first mover advantage. Novo Nordisk, like I mentioned, who produces Ozempic and Wegovy, and Eli Lilly, who manufactures Mounjaro, I guess it's called. I'm sorry if I mispronounced that. Anyways, They're up 60% year to date. So the names that don't do this, like Merck's down 5%, Pfizer collapsing 42% because of the COVID lack and demand of the vaccine. And that's what's going on there. Now, when we look at the other side of this coin, the food producers, companies like Constellation, Kraft, ConAgra, Mondelez, well, they've lagged the S&P 500. In the cases of Kraft and ConAgra, down 12% and 26% year-to-date, respectively. Reasoning? Well, estimates for GLP-1 drug usage forecast 25 to 50, that's a pretty big number, million users by 2030. And if GLP-1 drugs reduce appetite by, say, 10 to 20%, then the impact of aggregate food consumption will be in the low single-digit percentage, that's according to Bank of America. So for the food companies, that's evaporation of real and substantial demand. Now, this past week, the concerns were compounded by John Furner, Walmart CEO of U.S. Operations, who said during the October earnings call that they save a reduction in aggregate food demand from shoppers who are fueling these GLP-1 prescriptions. Point being, it's anecdotal and still early, but the risk here to food companies is real. So finally, because food companies are a large part of consumer staple ETFs, their poor performance has impacted the returns of ETFs like XLP, which has declined 4.6% year to date. And while part of that has been lack of growth and slowdown and higher yields that make dividend stocks less attractive, a big part of the underperformance has been concerns about food demand. So the bottom line here is the evolution of these GLP-1 drugs, George, and how they impact food demand is something that's real, and you want to pay attention to it. So, thank you, George. It was an interesting question, and I do appreciate it. Now, our best case scenario for next year is going to see the Fed cut rates maybe three times, and I think it's going to happen in the second half of the year. Don't expect it up front. That's what I'm saying. That should help bond prices increase, particularly on the longer duration of the maturity curve. I think interest rate stability next year, as opposed to this year, could be the catalyst for a rotation from this year's equity winners to the laggards. Like what? Well, I think the narrow market leadership this year and the Magnificent Seven, helped by the craze in AI, has created a value gap. And there's opportunity still in small cap value, traditional defensive areas. So take a look. When we come back, do you have to take your RMD? Find out when we come back. You're listening to The Sandman on the Protect Your Assets Radio Network.
Take the first step toward reaching your financial goals and get the information that can help you live a confident retirement. That first step is going to pyaevents.com and signing up for our next free event. That's pyaevents.com. Now back to Protect Your Assets with David Hollander, The Sandman.
Welcome back. I'm David Hollander, also known as The Sandman. And you are listening this morning to Protect Your Assets. A beautiful December morning we have. So this came up this week. Someone came in and they figured out they had to take money out of their retirement account. They weren't expecting it, but because they reached a certain age, the IRS forces them to take what's called the required minimum distribution. Of course, that income is going to add to their other income sources, and this will affect their Medicare, their Social Security, which means they're going to pay more taxes. And of course, if they mishap and make a mistake, the IRS reduced the penalty recently, but it's still 25%. So think about that. So I thought I'd go over this morning the basics of RMDs, because it is simple sounding, but it really isn't. And so many people get it wrong. So whether you are ready or not, when you turn 73, you must take the RMD from your qualified account. And that will generate a 1099 next January, February, which you will then put on your tax return and pay taxes on that distribution as ordinary income. What's a qualified account? Well, your 401k, your IRA, your TSP, 403b. So think about it this way. There is the ABCs of RMDs, and so you may want to write that down. ABC. A stands for aggregation. Now, all those accounts I just mentioned, 401k, IRA, TSP, 403b, aggregate. The IRS requires that you calculate the RMD for each of these types of accounts that you might have. Roth does not count. RMDs are based on the value of the account as of 12/31 of the prior year, so last year, which was good because in 22, values were down for most. You divide your life expectancy factor by that 12/31 balance to come up with what you must take out. Now, how do you find that out? You need to get your hands on IRS publication 590. If you don't have it, I'll give you that option to get from us here in a little bit. Sit tight. IRS publication 590. Now, once you've calculated your RMD for each of these types of accounts I mentioned, you can aggregate the total and withdraw your RMD from one account, if you'd like, or multiple accounts in any combination. Now, that's important right now because you may have different strategies going on in each of these different buckets around where you've had these accounts custodied all these years. Now, if you have a 403B, the RMD should be calculated separately, and the total amount can be withdrawn from any one or a combination of those types of accounts. But keep in mind that 403Bs cannot be aggregated with IRAs. B is for beginning withdrawals. Remember, this is ABC. So A is aggregate, B, begin. When should you take your first RMD? Well, the year you turn 73, you're required to take distributions from all the accounts that I mentioned. With 401ks, and I had someone this week who was in, and we were literally talking about this issue. 73, but he has a 401k. He can avoid taking his RMD because he's still currently employed. He's still contributing. And as long as you are still working, you don't own 5% or more of the company, you're good. However, if you have other 401ks out there or other IRA accounts, you still got to take the RMD. So that's where we got interested in the math here. You need to take your RMD before December 31st. The exception for that is the year that you turn 73. That first time only. This is one. It's the pitch. You come up, it's it. You get it or you don't. You don't get a do-over. You have an option this first year of waiting until April 1st of next year. And this might be helpful if, like this fellow we met with yesterday, he's going to go on sabbatical because he's accrued out over 40 years all this time. So what he's going to do is take a sabbatical, come back and quit. All right. Let's look at the numbers on doing something like that. Remember, the RMD could affect the tax you might pay on your Social Security income. If you wait, means you're going to have to take two distributions next year. And if you do that, like this gentleman was thinking about, that could bump him into a higher tax bracket. So one strategy to consider could be taking your distribution from your retirement account now and then combining that income with something else to take full advantage of that. Now, this week we saw another couple who combined were making over $500,000 a year. Their house is almost paid off and they want to stop working at this grueling pace they're at right now. And they're looking at 3 years out. Big question. How will they live when the paychecks stop? One solution is to not wait for the RMDs. Rather, start taking the money from their retirement accounts when they retire and letting their Social Security benefit build up. Now, because we have CPAs in our office, we have financial planners, we use software to figure this out and look at the numbers. And after we did this, I said to them, why are you working? You can quit. Really? Yes. Look at the numbers here. Look how well you've done. You just need to switch it on to income. And they said, well, we've been working so hard accumulating, growing this money all these years. How do we turn that into income that will last the rest of our lives? Well, that's where C comes in. That's where you look at maybe doing some conversions or some strategizing now. So when you get ready to retire next year, the year after that, you're ready to go. Just like the 49ers, we do our homework. We work hard. Wasn't that an incredible game against Philly? Feel sorry for the Seahawks tomorrow. But anyway, you know, work. Put the time in. Do the work. The results speak for themselves. RMDs, they're not simple. They're confusing. And the deeper you get into this stuff, the more you need a team who's prepared that does this every day. We have the latest financial tools with the minds behind them to take full advantage of the red zone. If you're in the red zone right now and you're thinking about how do I squeeze the most out and get across the goal line, pick up the phone. Call us. 866-PROTECT. 866-PROTECT to talk to our team and see what the latest techniques are to help you save money on this sort of stuff. Coming up next is time for our popular They Say segment, where I'll discuss a way to eliminate your RMD forever. You're listening to The Sandman on the Protect Your Assets Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Take the first step toward reaching your financial goals and get the information that can help you live a confident retirement. That first step is going to pyaevents.com and signing up for our next free event. That's pyaevents.com. Now, back to Protect Your Assets with David Hollander, the Sandman.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Protect Your Assets. I am David Hollander, also known as the Sandman. And over the past 30 years of helping people just like you prepare and enter retirement, you could say we've learned a few things or two about how to save money on things you otherwise thought you had to do. So on today's show, we're sharing the last little secrets you can take advantage of before the year is over. Today, we're talking about the dreaded RMD. And now it's time for one of our fan favorite parts of the show, our They Say segment, where we debunk common myths, half-truths, and sometimes just bad advice that they say.
Who are they? What do they know that I don't? And what are they saying this week? Here's David Hollander, the Sandman's answer.
All right, so here's one they say. They say that you have to take your RMD when you turn 73. Is that always true? Or is there a way to get around it? Well, if you're years away from the RMD, in other words, you're under the age of 73, then there's really only one choice to legally eliminate the RMD. What is it? You got it, Roth IRA. Good for you. Roth IRA are the only retirement account out there that are not subject to RMD rules. That's because they're tax-free, and the government receives no economic benefit when you withdraw money from a Roth IRA. To keep you out of the IRS crosshairs, if you wish to convert your IRA, 401k, TSP, 403b, to a Roth, and you're age 73 or older, you have to follow the three-step approach. What's the three-step? Here we go. Step number one. First, you have to satisfy your RMD if you are 73. Step number two, you must pay tax on that distribution, whether or not you're 73 or not. So if you're under 73 and you're doing a conversion, which, by the way, is unlimited, then you will pay ordinary income tax on that amount you take out. That might make sense, particularly if you have time and you're in a high tax bracket in the future. Step number three, you convert what's left within the IRA to the Roth. I know that Roth IRAs are probably the most valuable retirement account because they are unshackled from the government taxation. They're tax-free. And nothing is better than tax-free except free. You got it. That's right. But what if you don't have any or much in a Roth IRA? Are you stuck with the dreaded RMD? Well, the answer is it depends on how much of a giving heart you have. If you give to nonprofits like your favorite charities, then there's a way to keep the IRS happy by fulfilling your RMD duty while at the same time avoiding the tax on your RMD distribution. Sorry for the acronym, QCD. Write that down. QCD, and we're going to break it down for you. You can give up to $100,000. So we met with someone yesterday. He could give up to $43,000 because that was his RMD. But you can go all the way up to $100,000 from your IRA when you are 73 years or over without counting that distribution as taxable income through something known as a qualified charitable distribution, QCD. Normally, when you take money out of your IRA, as you know, it's ordinary income. That withdrawal adds to your total taxable gross income and inflates your AGI, also known as adjusted gross income, which then will affect other things. Like what? Well, meanwhile, your Medicare surtax, Medicare premium costs, Social Security, all those things get hit by your AGI. QCDs, because they go direct to the charity, don't affect your AGI. Further, giving a QCD directly from your IRA can allow you to benefit from charitable giving now while you're alive and can see the benefit of that. Normally, charitable giving can only be deducted if it's less than 50% of your AGI. But if you give directly from your IRA, this allows you to effectively reduce your gross income, even if the gift amount would otherwise be greater than 50% of your AGI. So, qualified charitable distributions count as IRA distributions and can be used to satisfy all or a part of your RMD. Now, this is very useful for those who are still working, have a large pension, rental income, or in general, find themselves in a higher tax bracket towards the end of the year. Had one of those this week. All of a sudden, he had $1 million income from some kind of a settlement that he negotiated. To fully count as a QCD, there are three factors that must be satisfied. First, a QCD must come from a traditional IRA, or for those of you who inherited IRAs, you can use that too. You have to be 73 or over. QCDs cannot be made from employer-sponsored retirement accounts like your 401k. So if you're thinking of doing this, roll over your 401k to an IRA and then you can do it. Again, you have still a few weeks to do it. Second, the distribution must transfer directly to a qualified charity. Qualified charities includes 501c3 organizations. The list does not include donor-advised funds. That's another they say. I've heard people say that. No, doesn't work. Foundations or other grant-making organizations. Make sure you check that box. And third, you must receive a confirmation letter from the charity. The letter must include the statement that no goods or services were received in exchange for the gift. This is a great way to do good and use money that you would have otherwise paid income tax on. Instead, by using this approach, you don't take money from your bank account or paycheck, as you might be doing right now. And by doing that, that is more tax efficient. It's smarter. It's a better way to pay less on income. Now, I know this kind of planning sounds a little foreign, maybe a little weird. And by doing a financial plan and looking at things as a simulation, it's a different world now. You can see what will happen on paper, black and white, before you do it. And by working with a CPA, an estate planning attorney, and a advisor, which is what our team consists of, you get answers that you may never have seen before. That's the power of having a good coaching staff. The reason why people fail at their goals in life is because willpower will only get you so far. What gets you past the goal line is why power. Knowing why you want to achieve something, whether you're trying to eat healthy or save for retirement, will help you keep focused on your goals. Having the right coach mentor you and show you why is mission critical. So ask yourself this question. Is my coach showing me how to pay less in taxes right now? If the answer is no, well, then take the first step right now and get independent advice from a team of fiduciaries about how you can keep more of your money and pay less taxes right now. Call this number, 866-PROTECT. You can pick up the phone right now, talk to my team. We will show you the techniques that we are using now to pay less taxes. 866-PROTECT. Call my team, 866-PROTECT. We're here to help. Coming up next on Protect Your Assets, Larry wants to know, if I'm 5 years or closer to retirement, should I even be considering converting or contributing money to a Roth IRA? Good question, Larry. Keep it right here. We'll be right back.
If you missed any of Protect Your Assets with David Hollander, all you have to do is go to pyaradio.com where you can download or listen to our latest shows for free. Just go to pyaradio.com on your computer or mobile device when it's most convenient for you. That's pyaradio.com. Now back to Protect Your Assets with David Hollander, the Sandman.
Welcome back. I am David Hollander. I am the Sandman. I am the proud father of Jackie Hollander, who's making this rip right now, or track, as she tells me. Dad, it's called a track. Sorry. If you're interested in this sort of music, check out Spotify. Look up Jackie Hollander, and you'll see her latest. It's hard to break a habit after 30 or 40 years, isn't it? Well, if you've been contributing to a 401k, 403b, or 457 plan, you've created a multi-decade healthy habit of saving. But when you turn 73 or older, it's time to break that habit. Think of it as an IRS contribution cessation program, complements of the IRS. The dreaded and often confusing RMD, also known as required minimum distribution, is what we've been focusing on today's show, specifically a handful of tips to keep the IRS off your back and your tax bill as low as possible. Well, this last segment comes to us from Larry. Larry asks, as I'm 5 years or closer to retirement, should I even be considering converting to a Roth IRA? Well, or he also said a defined benefit plan. Good questions, Larry. Well, that really depends. It depends on a number of factors, your income tax, how much longer you want to work, things like that. But building up a tax-free nest egg gives you flexibility and allows you to control how much you pay in taxes as tax rates increase. Now, we know a year from now, the tax law changes are coming. Now, Congress has next year to do something about it. I doubt they're going to get anything done. So I personally think tax rates are going higher in the future. A Roth can be a terrific asset during retirement, or it allows you to leave tax-free assets to your kids. If you have substantial real estate holdings like Mike, who I met this past week, and he gets most of his income from his real estate, he manages these properties. Well, Larry, Mike could do right now what's known as a money purchase plan. And in Mike's case, he can stick away hundreds of thousands of dollars of income that he otherwise would be paying taxes on right now into a defined benefit type program like what you're asking about. So that's one way to pay less right now. And if you're not doing this, well, you know who to call. One other thing to keep top of mind is that 401ks and TSPs are savings plans, meaning that they can be great tools for saving. But when you're nearing or in retirement, 401ks, 403bs, and TSPs weren't designed to provide you retirement security or retirement income. They serve the purpose while you were working to grow money. And now that the time has come to move those funds into income-producing assets, you need to look at your options as to how best you can do that. It could be a good time, Larry, to roll over some of these accounts or convert some of these accounts to a Roth. But I'll tell you what, you really have no ability to look at that unless you're modeling it out. And so we can take each one of those accounts, we can model them out with using our advanced financial planning software with a qualified individual who does this every single day and help you figure out what's the best strategy for you, because you're not your neighbor, you're not your friend, you're yourself, and you got to look at your facts and your situation. Does that make sense? Let us do the heavy lifting for you. My team does this each and every day, and we're here to help. So do yourself a favor. Inhale through your nose, exhale through your mouth, and picture a day when you don't have to worry about RMDs, taxes, or what you're going to do about your health care anymore. Picture a day when you're standing on a deck. Yes, even on a chilly day like today, but could be warm somewhere else. You're on the Mediterranean. You're trying to decide, well, rosé or Aperol spritz today. Picture a day when you can relax, travel, and do all those things you've always wanted to do. You still have a few weeks left before 23 is over. And if you want help, if you want to see what's possible, we're offering this right now for no cost. Just call us, 866-PROTECT. Get your own virtual look at what could be. 866-PROTECT. Talk to my team before it's too late. 866-PROTECT. I'd like to give a big thanks to the Protect Your Assets team for another great show today. My executive producer, network manager, Kevin Renfer. And of course, all my fabulous producers back there answering the phone, doing the work. Raf, Lucas, Adrian, thanks guys. Because without my team, I'm just another pretty voice on the radio. You have been listening to the Protect Your Assets show. I am David Hollander, the Sandman. Have a great holiday season and go out and make the rest of your life the best of your life.
Investment advisory services are offered through Liberty Wealth Management, a registered investment advisor. This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as a basis for investment decisions. The strategies mentioned are not suitable for everyone. The information expressed does not consider your specific situation or objectives and may not be appropriate for all investors. Past performance is not indicative of future results. To better understand the risk associated with investing and how it reacts to different market conditions, listeners should always consult with their qualified investment professionals, financial advisors, legal or tax specialist and conduct their due diligence before making any financial decisions or taking any action. The legal information provided on the air is not intended to substitute for callers hiring their lawyers to advise them about personal legal matters. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Liberty Group LLC paid for the following program, and the host's views and opinions do not represent those of the station or its ownership. California Life Agent number 048569. Persons engaging the services of one affiliate of Liberty Group LLC companies should be aware that each company is operated separately. You're listening to the Protect Your Assets Radio Network.